Praise the Lord.
Amen.
How about we start this morning? Let's read two verses in the Bible. Hope you all got Bibles. We have to learn to practice, bring our Bibles. We're Christians. We use Bibles. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. 29 and 30. Okay, Matthew 11. How about sisters read the first verse 28, brothers 29, all together on 30. Okay, and read with a strong spirit, clear mind. Okay, go.
Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest.
Amen. Take my yoke upon you.
For my yoke is easy and my burden is
light.
Okay, let's emphasize. Let's just read the first three words of verse 28 with a strong spirit.
Come to me.
Let's emphasize the first word.
Come to me.
Emphasize the third word.
Come to me.
Emphasize all three words. Okay, let's try verse 29, the first three words.
Take my yoke.
First word emphasized.
Take my yoke.
Third word.
Take my yoke.
Second word.
Take my yoke.
All three.
Take my yoke.
Amen. Oh, sorry, I missed one word. Look at the verse, end of verse 29. There's a very key word there. And you will, what will you find?
Rest.
For?
Your soul.
What's the first word?
Rest.
Say it again.
Rest.
One more time.
Rest.
Are you resting?
Yes.
I'm not too sure. So a brother asked me this morning, my name is Marty Robert. I'm from Chicago.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So a brother asked me this morning, what's your main burden? Main burden. Maybe you ought to write this down. If you don't get anything else this morning, the whole burden summarized in one word. Need to learn this one word. Need to learn how to rest. Rest. Okay? I think maybe many of you know how to chill. But not necessarily rest. And I say this from my own personal experience. Sometimes I chill. Believe it or not, I still chill. Sometimes I chill, and when I'm done chilling, I'm totally unrestful. Okay? You know why? Because rest is related to Christ. Rest equals Christ. Chill, most of the time, equals the world. So I'll give you one example here this morning. Maybe Josh and Joseph, could you come up here? Let's say Joseph is this entity called sin. Josh is this entity called the world. Okay? Now the thing is, you might not know this, but according to the Bible, world and sin are married. Okay, but sometimes it's not so apparent. So maybe come over here. So sometimes you think, I just like to chill a little bit. Say, come over here. Hang out a little bit in the world. Chill a little bit with the world. Okay? And the world seems, oh, that's nice. The world is nice. But where the world is, guess who's not far away? Sin. Okay? So sure enough, you start to chill in the world and liking it. And then before you know it, You just can't help it. They go together. You start touching sin. And that's why when you think, I'm just going to take it easy, chill a little bit, enjoy a little bit of the world, you end up over here. And so what happens is, when you touch sin, no rest. In fact, you end up just the opposite. When you touch sin, you get anxiety, you get unrest, you get troubled, you get defiled, you get dark, you get unpeaceful, right? So, chilling is not the same as rest. Okay, thanks. Okay, so, we need to learn how to rest. Actually, the Bible says, you will find rest. Okay? And actually, we'll look at verse 29. This is a learning process. Take my yoke upon you and learn. You have to learn. It sounds kind of funny. Who would think you have to learn how to rest? But you have to learn. Don't think you know how to rest. And rest is not just going to your bed and just laying down for a little while. That is not necessarily, that's physical rest. That's not the rest the Bible is talking about. Okay? So anyway, the main burden this morning is we need to learn how to rest. Okay? Rest, sometimes rest, maybe look, it might look different than you think. Rest might be exercising your spirit. Rest might be reading the Bible. Right? Rest might be studying the Word. Okay? It's different than you think. Rest might be you're really into it. Okay? Preaching the gospel. Right. Taking the Lord's yoke. Taking the Lord's yoke is doing His will. Amen. Being one with the Lord. Right? Just like we saw with the pattern. The Lord Jesus, what did He do? He didn't do anything from Himself, for Himself, to Himself. He just walked on the earth doing the Father's will. The Father said, go here. He just went there. He's just very restful. The Father said, talk to this person. He just talked to this person. What should I say? Tell me what to say. I'll say that. He's just rest. He's in the rest. He's just fully submissive, one with the Father's will. Okay, so anyway, this weekend, you know what the brothers did, and I like to do the same again. What is the unique work? God is one. He has one person. There's one triune God. He has one work He's doing. What is He doing on the whole earth? He's imparting Himself into man. He went through a process. He became a man. And God mingled with this one man. Right? He was God manifested in the flesh. It was a very great work right in the very beginning. Never before in all human history did God come into a human flesh. Right? Never. So man, we all look at great, great events. And all the seven or eight wonders in the world. And you see how big of a building someone can make. And wow, what a great, great work. Or what a great work of somebody write poetry or some great engineering feat or all those kind of things. Those are all okay. Those are nice. You know, it's interesting. But whenever has God come into human flesh? That was never, never happened before in all history on the whole earth. And when had God ever lived in a human being and walked through a human being? That's a great, great work. Right? And then He went to the cross so He could not only remove the barriers between God and man, but He could also become the Spirit so that He could now give Himself to others and come and live in man. And not only live in us, but like the brother shared previously, He could begin to make His home in us. Right? This is His great work, is that we who were dead in sin and unrighteousness and far from God and in the world without God, God came, He brought us, He reconciled us to Himself. He brought us near by the blood of Christ. And then He came and dwelt in us. He came to live in us. Okay? And now, in our normal, mostly routine, just daily life, what is he doing? He's little by little, he's making home in us.
Amen.
That's so sweet. Right? He's building himself into us. Okay, but last night, I think a lot of you got the point that what is God's unique work? He's imparting himself. He's making home in our hearts. He's growing in us. He's making us the same as he is. But I would say that's not the end. That's not the final. That's not the total goal. Okay? That's the way. But his real ultimate goal is not only you individually that he would grow in and make his home in, but he desires that you would be built up with others to form a building on this earth. Built up with other believers. Anyway, this is his great, great work that he would have a dwelling place, not only in you individually, but in us corporately. So like I enjoy like seeing the different groups take pictures, you know, this weekend. It's so sweet. Okay? You know why it's so sweet? Because it's not one brother over in Fairborn and one in Columbus and one or two in Chicago. No. It's a group.
Right.
It's a group of people.
Amen.
And what? We're not all just individuals, Lord, grow in me and grow in me. And well, I guess you can grow in Jason too, but Lord, I'm the whole focus of your economy. No, that's not it. God wants to grow in you for what? So that you would become buildable.
Amen.
You'd be able to build up with others.
Amen.
You would become a member. A building stone, a living stone for God's building. Right? This is his goal. And this is his work. He's recovering us. It's a great thing to be in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
You're being recovered out of darkness into light. Out of death into life.
Amen.
Right? Out of your individualism into a corporate building. With others being built up, the Lord is recovering us back to himself that we could experience him and enjoy him as our life and know him in the truth and be built up with others. Okay, well, this weekend we saw there's a pattern. The Lord Jesus, the God-man Jesus, is a wonderful pattern. His living was the same as his working and his ministry. He just did the Father's will, spoke the Father's word, and he did the Father's work. And then we saw what is his way to fulfill his goal is to impart himself, work himself into our hearts to grow in us and make home in all our heart. Okay, and his goal is to have a building, is to have a testimony in every city, on every campus. Okay, and we should make clear here this morning, God's goal is not a club.
Right.
Okay? And if you're in a club on the campus, praise the Lord. That's where a lot of us got touched by the Lord. And I like to testify, I'll testify probably till I die. I got saved at a university. In a dormitory. When I was 18 years old. Praise the Lord. A brother. He was just a brother. Right? He was just another student. He lived on the same floor in the same dormitory, and he was bold. Right? He wasn't some big dynamic preacher. He's just a brother living in the dormitory. And I noticed he was a good student. And he wasn't a loner. He was built up with some others. I found out later there were 7 brothers living on the same floor in the same dormitory. Okay? And these brothers, you know, they came to me. They brought Christ to me. And they brought the gospel to me. And this brother was bold. And he told me, you know, he asked me, put me on the spot. And he said, Marty, are you really a Christian? You know, I was so offended by him. You know, anyway, he preached the gospel. I won't go into the whole story, but I got saved, you know, by an ambassador. One who was representing Christ, where? He didn't have to travel all over the world to go be an ambassador somewhere. He was an ambassador right where he lived. And just where he lived, where he was going to school. And we all dream about, oh, maybe someday I'll go away, like far, far away, and I'll be a great missionary, great ambassador somewhere. Well, how about try being an ambassador right where you live? Right by those around you. Right? That's those people right around you need Christ. Right? If this brother was ashamed of the gospel and too timid, I might not be here this morning. You know, but he was bold to bring Christ to me. And actually, I looked at this outline again on the ambassador this morning. You know what one of the first Roman numerals says? We need to have an aspiration to participate. Can you believe it? We can participate in God's unique work. Yeah. It's a great thing. Not only God is working, but He's called us to enjoy His work in us, but He's also called us to participate in His unique work. That means you can be a co-worker with God.
Amen.
Hey? Some people think, whoa, wouldn't it be something to be on the same team as LeBron James or, you know, what's some of the other guys' names? I don't even know. Anyway, you think, well, if I could be on the so-and-so's basketball team, wow, what a thing. You could be a co, you know, on the same team. Okay, that's nothing. That's vanity, right? You think about it. You're on the same team with the triune God.
Amen.
You can be a co-worker with the triune God. Right? You can participate in His work. How? By being an ambassador right where you live. Just in your normal daily living, you can express Christ. You can represent Him. Okay. Well, last night we saw again... It's something. I don't know if you all have this aspiration. I get inspired. That's why I'm serving full time. You know, I love to be an ambassador. There's nothing higher. You know, we saw this weekend and it says, the highest prayer that you can pray is, Lord Jesus, make your home in me. Okay? I like to say, the highest job in the whole universe is to be an ambassador. Okay, you don't have to be full time to be an ambassador. That's not bad being an ambassador full time. Right? Some of you all think about it. Maybe the Lord's calling you to be full time ambassador. Right? I read these missionary biographies. I just love them. I love these brothers from the past. They sold all. They gave their all just to go and be one with the Lord and represent Him in many places throughout the earth. Okay? What a high, high calling. They're poor. They didn't make a lot of money. They didn't become some great investment banker or lawyer or, you know, PhD or a doctor. Or, you know, they became an ambassador. An ambassador of Christ. Okay? Well, we know that you don't have to be a missionary. You don't have to go to some foreign country somewhere. Lord is calling. You know, He wants ambassadors. So think about it. Do you have any aspiration? You should be inspired to be an ambassador. Be an ambassador of Christ. You can be an ambassador of Christ at UIC. What a high calling. You can be an ambassador of Christ at Wright State. Right? At Michigan. At Northwestern. Even at University of Chicago. Anyway, wherever you go to school, you can be an ambassador. Okay, so last night we saw we need to take heed. Okay, do you have any desire? Do you desire to be a worker? You're a called out one. You're a member of the body. You're a vessel containing the triune God. You're being filled with God. He's making home in you. But that's not all that you are. This life is not only flowing in, it needs to flow out.
Amen.
so that you can be an ambassador. Okay, but we saw last night, okay, an ambassador is a builder. But we need to take heed how we build. And it's very easy, and the brothers who serve longer will tell you it's easy to eventually you start to get across the line, you know, and start thinking, I can do this, I'm going to do this. And start working by your own strength, by your own power, and for yourself, for your own glory. Didn't I do a good job? You know, it's all me-centered. Okay? Then you're not no longer building with gold, silver, and precious stones, but you build with wood, grass, and stubble. So we need to take heed. But I don't know if you saw it last night, Ken mentioned, what is the way that we can be saved from exhibiting ourself and working by ourself and building by ourself? What's the way we can be saved is by enjoying the triune God. If you don't enjoy the triune God in your daily life, guaranteed you're going to be working with wood, hay, and stubble, because that's all there is. Okay? Either you have Christ or you have yourself. That's all there is. Okay? So, anyway, this morning, we're coming to a very great matter. And I was thinking about this, it's so funny. You think about, today we want to talk about the Sabbath. You say, wow, what a boring subject to talk about the Sabbath. Who wants to talk about the Sabbath? But I never realized the Sabbath is so important. Okay, but we're not talking about, there's a group, there's a whole denomination, they call themselves the Seventh-day Adventist. Okay, and they legally, very legally, say Saturday is the Sabbath, and you can't work, you can't go shopping, you can't cut your grass, you can't do anything. Go to church and read your Bible and be very legal. You know, this is the Sabbath. Okay, we're not talking about that. Okay, but we are talking about something very important in the Bible. And I just like to give you a real quick overview. You know, sometimes it helps to see a picture. Okay, like we did this morning, we take a picture. And sometimes you forget, you know, who are those saints in Fairborn again? I can't remember. Well, you just pull out your picture. Okay, take a look. Whoa, there they are. Okay, or even saints from your own locality. Sometimes you forget. Who's who? You know. So, pull out a picture. Well, do you know that you have a photograph in the Bible? You have a photo. Actually, it's a group photo. Okay, you know where it is? You know what book gives you a group photo in the Bible? It's the book of Exodus. If you're, you have to go look at it. Okay? If you want to see your group photo, you have to go to the book of Exodus. Okay? Now I'd just like to hopefully just quickly show you the photo. But it's an invisible photo, so I hope you can see it. Okay? You know how the photo starts out in Exodus? All the children of Israel are in slavery. They're in the world. They're under bondage. That's your photo. That's the way you start. You're dead, in sin, in the world, under Pharaoh, under Satan, in the world. That's the way you start. Okay? But what happened? Watch, look at the photo. What happened was, Christ, it wasn't Christ in the Old Testament, but the reality is Christ. But anyway, they got the Passover. The Passover lamb came, and the Passover was, they shed the blood, and they put the blood on the doorpost, and the children of Israel, if they were under the blood, they got saved from God's judgment. That's your testimony. That's your photo. Don't forget, you were dead. You were in the world. You were without God. You were in slavery, but you got redeemed. You got redeemed by the blood. You believed, and you got not only believed, but you also got baptized. The children of Israel crossed the Red Sea. They came out of bondage. They came out of slavery. They came out of Egypt, and they crossed the Red Sea. So what is that? You need to believe and be baptized, and you'll be redeemed, and you'll be saved. That's your photo. That's your group photo. Wasn't just one that got out of Egypt, but the whole people of Israel, they all came out. Okay, they all got out of Egypt, and then what? Then they start eating manna and drinking the water of the rock. That's your photo. Don't forget. Okay, what should you be doing in your daily living? Eating manna, drinking the water. That's your life supply. So you got redeemed. You got saved. You got baptized. If you haven't had these first two, maybe you're missing in the photo. Patty Bell told me this morning she wasn't in our picture. She should be. She's going to Photoshop herself in. You can't do that spiritually. You need to believe and be baptized and you'll be saved. Maybe some here this morning, you haven't yet even believed. You're still in bondage. You're still under God's condemnation. You need to believe and be baptized. Maybe some here still have not been baptized. You're still in the world. You're still in Egypt. You need to cross and come out. Amen. You need to be baptized.
Amen.
Okay? So you should think about it. If you have not been baptized, you should ask somebody around you, have you been baptized? You need to get out of Egypt. Get out of the world. Okay? And get baptized.
Amen.
And then start eating the manna. Every morning, eat the manna. When I first got saved and started believing, I came into the church life and I heard about this thing called morning watch. I heard people get up in the morning and read the Bible and enjoy Christ. Oh, that's a nice idea. But I didn't practice that. Okay, I didn't really know about it. And then I had hospitality one time, and I actually saw brothers get up in the morning and read the Bible and come to the Lord and get nourished. I thought, wow, people really do this. So I started practicing. It's wonderful to eat manna in the morning. I don't know if you practice this. Do you eat manna in the morning?
Amen.
You got to eat manna in the morning. You got to get up in the morning and eat manna and drink the living water. Okay, then what happened? Then God revealed himself to the children of Israel through the law. And then you know what he did? If you look at the group photo, he showed them what was on his heart. You know what was on his heart? A tabernacle. You know what that means? God, and God's heart was a building.
Amen.
He showed them. What he was after was a building.
Amen.
I think the Lord is showing us that here. We should be impressed. God's goal is not just that you be saved and baptized.
Right.
And God's goal is not only that you enjoy him in your daily living. God's goal is that you would be built up with others. You would arrive at the building.
Amen.
Okay, so he showed them what was on his heart was a tabernacle that they needed to be built up. And that is what we need. We need, that's our photo. God's goal is he wants a dwelling place on earth with man.
Amen.
Okay, but then what? It's so interesting. Let me show you something. God told them, okay, he gave them the law in chapter 20. Okay. Then, in chapter 25, he revealed that he wanted the building. Okay. It wasn't until around chapter 35 to 40 that they actually built it. They got the building. Okay? So what's going on here? It's very interesting. In chapter 31, something happened. God gave them a reminder. Okay? Here they are. They got saved. I didn't even go back here. They got saved. They got baptized. They started enjoying Christ. They got to know God. They got to see what was on God's heart. And they're ready. They want to build. Let's do it. Let's build. Let's build. Let's build up. Okay, let's have the Lord build himself into us. and let's build him into others. Let's preach the gospel. Let's shepherd others. Let's impart Christ into others. Be ambassadors. Build up. Okay, but the Lord's all of a sudden, he said, well, wait a minute. Slow down. You need a little reminder here. Okay, if you're going to build and you're going to cooperate with the Lord, what is on his heart, you have to take his way. And he's got a very particular way, and he doesn't want you doing it. He wants you to take his way. And his way, the reminder is, you need to do it by the principle of the Sabbath. Okay, the principle of the Sabbath is this. This is very interesting. Okay, I want to show you something. You know, if you read in Genesis, the very first book of the Bible, you have God. And what did he do? In day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Okay. What happened on the first day? He worked. Second day, he worked. Third day, worked. Fourth day, worked. Fifth day, worked. Sixth day, he did a very special work. All of a sudden, man came into the picture. Okay? But now you notice, man's not here all this time. Man's not there. God's working. What's man? Man's not even in existence yet. Okay, what happened? On the sixth day, man was created. Okay, what is man's number one day? Right there. Man's first day is God's seventh day. What did God do? He worked day 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Came the seventh day, God rested. Okay? What did man do? He didn't do anything here. God worked. He prepared everything for man. You think about it, he prepared the whole environment, the whole earth, the whole universe, all creation, all the food, all the animals, everything. Everything's ready for man. Then he finally created man. Man was created here. Now man, all of a sudden, his first day comes around. What should man do? Sorry, first day. What's God doing? First day is God's seventh day. First day, man, rest. Okay, so we think, I see the vision. God wants a building. I'm going to do it. Let's get to work. Okay, full-timers can tell you in Chicago, I don't like, let's get down to business here. Let's get going. It's time to work. Okay, what is this? God's principle. This is the Sabbath principle. This is really something. The Sabbath principle is God works and then he rests. What is the principle? Man rests and then he works. So, this is really, really key. You think you want to be an ambassador? You want to work? You want to build? You got to take God's way. You cannot... man's way is not to do the same as God did. God worked, and then he rested. He was satisfied. Man was in his image. Man expressed him. Man had dominion on the earth. God was happy. God rested. He was refreshed. Okay? Man, the way he begins, God almost tells you, you want to work. You're ready to go. Let's go. I want to work. God says, rest. You need to learn to rest. Rest first. Unless you learn how to rest, you cannot work. If you start working before you learn how to rest, you're going to be in trouble. Because what are you going to be doing? You're going to be building with wood, grass, and stubble. Right? You're going to be burning out. you're going to be doing something contrary to what God is after. So you have to learn. Don't think you know how to rest. We have to learn how to rest. Okay, so let's look at the outline. Let's see. I'm going to use this. Okay. If you look at the outline, it says keeping the principle of the Sabbath in relation to the work of building. So we're not just keeping the Sabbath just so we can be good religious Christians. No, that's not what we want. We want to keep the principle. What's the principle? God works, then he rests. The principle is man rests, then we work. Okay, so the whole key this morning is we want to learn how to do this. Rest. Okay, sometimes we have conferences on the God-ordained way. Basically, we like to learn how to work. You got to learn. You have to learn. Don't think you know how. Like someone testified last night. Oh, you graduated from college and just changed your thing. You were a student, now you're a serving one. Well, okay, you can say that. But basically, no, don't think you know how to serve. You don't. We have to learn. You have to learn how to serve. You have to learn how to work. Do you really know how to preach the gospel? Do you really know how to shepherd people? Do you really know how to have an intimate concern for others? Do you know how to pray? Right. Do you know how to minister Christ to other people? We have to learn. We have to learn how to work. Okay, but before we do that, I'm not even talking about that this morning. First, you have to learn how to rest. Do you know how to rest? Don't tell me. I mean, if you ask me physically, I know how to rest pretty good. Okay. Sometimes I have no option. You know, it's like those little glass things and you turn it over. When you play a game, what do you call it? Hourglass, yeah. I put the turbine over in the morning and it starts going. And by a certain time of night, that's it. Mine's out. Okay, so we have to learn how to rest. Look at number one. In Exodus 31, remember we talked about that. Exodus 31, after a long record concerning the building up of God's dwelling place, there's a repetition. Okay? The repetition was, back here in chapter 20, God gave the law, all the commandments. One of them was keep the Sabbath. Okay? But now in chapter 31, he repeats it. Why? Because it's important. Okay? So, A, the fact that there is an insertion concerning the Sabbath follows the charge for the building work of the tabernacle indicates that the Lord was telling the builders, that's us, the workers, I don't know if you ever think about it. We don't like to use that word. I'm just a brother. I'm just a nobody. I'm just a small potato. I'm just nothing. Okay? The Bible says, you're a worker. You're a slave. You're a servant. Okay? We have to learn how to serve, how to build. Okay? But the Lord was telling the builders, the workers, how about we all recite those next two words? Okay. Are you still awake this morning? Did you get enough rest last night? Okay, it says in A, the workers need to learn how to rest with him as they work for him. Okay? And B, if we only know how to work for the Lord but do not know how to rest with him, we are acting contrary to the divine principle. This is so crucial. As so many Christians, they get saved and they get baptized and they start enjoying Christ and they think, wow, the Christian life is wonderful. I'm going to go tell everybody. I'm going to become a preacher. I'm going to become a missionary. I'm going to become a this or that, this or that. And I'm going to go work for God. Okay? And they want to skip. They want to violate the principle. They want to jump right over here. I'm going to work. I'm going to be a worker for God. But don't violate the principle. The principle is, did you learn how to rest? You got to learn how to rest first. Okay, B, if we only know how to work for the Lord but do not know how to rest with him, we are acting contrary to the divine principle. Look at the next, number one. God rested on the seventh day, right here, because he had finished all his work. And he was satisfied. God's glory was manifested because man had his image and his authority and was about to his authority was about to be exercised for the subduing of his enemy Satan. As long as man expresses God and deals with God's enemy, God is satisfied and can rest. So God was satisfied with the created man. Man expressed him. Man could deal with the enemy Satan. God was happy. He was satisfied. He rested. He could rest. Okay? Later, the seventh day was commemorated as the Sabbath. God's seventh day was man's first day. Okay? God had prepared everything for man's enjoyment, all his work. You think about it today. Like we came over here early this morning. It's dark. It's dark out here. I'm not used to it being out here in the country. It's dark. Okay? You think if there was no stars, if there was no moon, it'd be hard to live on this earth. Okay? God prepared everything. We think it's cold, but it's... Can you imagine if there's no sun? We wouldn't be able to live here. He prepared everything for our enjoyment. Okay? You think we had a great breakfast this morning? God prepared chickens to lay eggs. For what? For our enjoyment. He prepared everything. Okay, spiritually, God has done everything. What does he want you to do? A lot of people think, I need to work. I need to try harder so and improve my behavior. Then I can be saved. Then I can be, God will be happy with me. No, that's not the way to be saved. The way to be saved is enjoy his work. He died for you. You don't have to die. Okay? He shed his blood for your forgiveness. You don't have to work so hard to be forgiven. Just enjoy. So what should we do? God worked. He did everything for our enjoyment. We should just start out resting. Start out enjoying. Okay? God prepared everything for man's enjoyment. After man was created, he did not join in God's work. He entered into God's rest. So man... His first day was not a W. It was not a work day. His first day was an R. It was a rest day. Okay? That's God's principle. Man was created not to work first, but to be satisfied with God and rest with God. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Okay. I love this. I love this photo. Okay? Because this reminds us, wait, why don't you just stop? My son, when he was younger, I don't know where he got it. I didn't ask him. He got this huge stop sign. I'm hoping he got it at a garage sale. Anyway, I was thinking about that when I was preparing this. Saying that's what I need right over my desk. Stop. Stop. You need to stop. We don't like to stop. I don't like to stop. When I was younger, when I started driving, I loved to drive. I didn't like to stop for gas. I just like to keep going. Okay? Problem is, a couple times I did run out. We had one brother, one time I called him, told me, Marty, you got to stop. Anyway, some of us are hard learners. We got to stop. Our culture, probably your culture more than mine, is nonstop. Don't like to stop. Like to just run, work. Do, go, here, there. Activity. Okay, even you think, I'm just going to rest. You don't rest. You get on the video game. You don't rest. You go find Mrs. World. She's so sweet. And then you, all of a sudden, oops, touching Mr. Sin. And then anxiety comes in. no rest. Okay, so we need to learn how to rest, how to stop. Okay, we need to learn how to stop. Okay, see, Exodus 31:17 says, in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day he rested and was what?
Refreshed.
He was what?
Refreshed.
Isn't that a good word? Refreshed. Okay? We should learn how to be refreshed. Okay? Number one, the Sabbath was not only a rest to God, but also a refreshment to him. God rested after his work of creation was completed. He looked upon his handiwork at the heavens, the earth, and all the living things, especially at man, and said, what did he say?
Very good.
Okay, we'll have a little participation here this morning. What did God say?
Very good.
And this, he was what?
Refreshed.
Hallelujah. Okay, God was?
Refreshed.
With?
Man.
With man. Man is so refreshing to God. God created man in his own image with the Spirit so that man could have fellowship with him. Isn't that something? God was, he's probably all excited. Right? He thought, wow, I created man. Guess what? Today, I'm going to take off. I'm just going to have a day with man. We're going to have fellowship together. We're going to have a nice time. You know, just spend time together. Okay, may we use Joseph again? Oh, no, sorry, Josh, you're the female part. Here's the thing. Sometimes, I don't mean to step on any toes here, but I'll just tell you my own experience. When I start seeing my wife, okay? Actually, I started seeing her when I was 19. Okay? Okay, but you know what? Sometimes when a guy starts to see a girl for the first time, they start to get together and they don't exactly know what to say. And so they have to learn how to spend time together. What to do, how to talk, you got anything to say? Anyway, how does it come about? How do you learn? You just have to practice. Just spend time together. Pretty soon, it just happens. You just learn how to speak to one another, how to spend time together, how to enjoy one another's company. Okay? Actually, I don't think it's not as funny, but it's not that funny. Here's the way it really is. You think, if someone asks you, we've seen this in the summer college training. Say, go spend time with the Lord. We'll give you 30 minutes. And you go spend 5 minutes with the Lord and you pray a little bit. And then it's like, now what? What does that show? You don't know how to spend time. You don't know how to rest. You don't know how to let the Lord speak to you. You speak to the Lord. You know how to read His Word just to spend time together. How to sing a hymn. How to enjoy Him. How to read the Bible. How just to be with Him. Let Him talk to you. You talk to Him. You apologize. Sorry, Lord, for this barrier that came in. Last night I was spending time with Mrs. World, and I touched Mr. Sin, sorry. You know? So, we have to learn how to spend time with the Lord. Okay, thanks. So, number three, God was refreshed with man. God created man in his image with the Spirit so that man could have fellowship with him. Man, therefore, was God's refreshment.
Amen.
You think about it. It's not too far off. Here it says, God was a bachelor. He was a bachelor all these days. There was no spouse. When he created mankind, he wanted man to receive him, to love him, to be filled with him, to express him, to become his wife. In eternity, God will have a wife, the New Jerusalem, which is called the Lamb's wife. See, think about it. God was a bachelor all the way. Then he created man. He thought, oh, it's so good. I have someone to talk to. I have someone who will receive me. Someone who will love me. Someone who will enjoy me. That should be our relationship. God wants us to learn how to rest and enjoy him. Spend time with him. So you should think about it. You should try it. Let's say tomorrow morning you get up and say, I'm going to have a half hour time with the Lord. Let's see. Do you know how to spend a half hour with the Lord? Or is it 2 minutes and you run out and you don't know what to do? We have to learn how to enjoy Christ. How to rest with him. Man was like a refreshing drink to quench God's thirst and satisfy him. When God ended his work and began to rest, he had man as his what?
Companion.
His what?
Companion.
God wanted a companion for his enjoyment. To God, the seventh day was a day of rest and refreshment. However, to man, God's companion, the day of rest and refreshment was the first day. Man's first day was a day of?
Enjoyment.
Day of what?
Enjoyment.
Okay. Just want to make sure you're still awake here. Okay. It is a divine. How about we all read D together?
It is a divine principle that God does not ask us to work until we have had enjoyment. After a full enjoyment with him and of him, we may work together with him.
Okay. Even spiritually, even maybe you're a full-timer. Maybe you're a, quote, serving one. I'll tell you one little story. I read a biography of George Mueller. You know what George Mueller used to do? He was a worker. Okay? He used to get up every morning, pull out his list, all his prayer list, names of people he wanted to get saved, and pray for, they prayed that the Lord would supply all their needs. They never asked any person ever. They never revealed to anyone their financial need. They refused to do that. So they made all their requests known to God only. Okay? So he used to get up in the morning. You could say, get to work. Pull out his prayer list. Pray for this one to be saved. Pray, Lord, meet our financial need. Lord, where's our next meal coming from? Lord, we need the boiler fixed so these kids don't freeze in this orphanage. Lord, supply the need. He started praying, working, working, working. You know what happened? He got so dry. Why? I guess in the beginning, he didn't know the principle. He started working. He's not God. God works first and then rests. No, we're man. Man needs to learn how to rest first. So, you know what happened? It's so sweet. You read his biography. It's so sweet. What happened? The Lord taught him as a believer, as one of his children. Lord taught him to come to him in the morning. Put your list aside. Put your prayer for others aside. All your requests for all the needs and everything, put it aside. What did he do? He just came to the Lord.
Amen.
Came to the Word. As you read his account, it's like he learned how to pray, read. He learned how to pray over the Word. He got so filled and so supplied in his Christian life. Then out of that, oh my goodness, was he energized. Then he could pray for quite a while. So I don't know if you practiced, you know, we talked about in the last few weeks, we wanted to have times of prayer, build up a prayer life. Have you ever tried to pray without supply, without enjoyment of Christ? It's pretty hard, and it can be pretty dry. Okay? So what do we need? We need to be filled.
Amen.
We need to eat the Word, eat the Lord, read the Bible, read the ministry. Be filled up in spirit. Be full of rest, full of supply, full of enjoyment. then don't worry. You'll be energized to pray. And you'll be energized to preach the gospel on your campus and to shepherd others. Okay, some of you are thinking, oh man, the brothers are always on my case. You know, I got to preach the gospel on my campus. I got to go shepherd people. I got to go do this. I got to go do that. Oh, I can't do it. It's so heavy. Oh. You know? And that's true. It is. You know why it is? Right here. Because you haven't learned how to rest. You don't have a supply. And the same with us workers. We workers are learning the same thing. You try, just work, go ahead, work, 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 work. Preach the gospel, go shepherd people, go preach the gospel, go have this meeting, go do this, go do that. Sorry, you can't do it. It's like your car is smoking because there's no oil. Okay? So you need to be filled up. We need to be filled up. Being filled up with the triune God, that's not just an enjoyable song to sing. We need to be filled. Okay. Where are we? D? D1. If we do not know how to have an enjoyment with God, how to enjoy God Himself, and how to be filled with God, we shall not know how to work with Him and be one with Him in His divine work. Man enjoys what God has accomplished in His work. So you look at even in the record of the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, the disciples were filled with the Spirit, which means they were filled with the enjoyment of the Lord because they were filled with the Spirit. Others thought that they were drunk with wine. Actually, they were filled with the enjoyment of the heavenly wine. Only after they were filled with this enjoyment did they begin to work with God in oneness with Him. Pentecost was the first day of the eighth week. Therefore, concerning the day of Pentecost, we see the principle of the first day. With God, let's all read number 4 together.
With God, it is a matter of working and resting. With man, it is a matter of resting and working.
Okay, so here, see? With God, it's a matter of working and resting. With man, it's a matter of resting then working. Okay? And I don't mean to give an impression that I know this thoroughly myself. We're all learning. I'm learning myself. Got to learn how to rest. Not how to take longer naps. Right? How to spend time with the Lord. How to really get rest within. Okay? E, in doing God's divine work to build the church, typified by the work to build the tabernacle, we must bear a sign. This is a sign. This is like our photograph. What are we? We are a people. We're God's people. We need Him. Then we will be able to work not only for God, but also with God by being one with Him. He will be our strength to work and our energy to labor. Okay, so what should be our testimony? We could say, we remember the principle of the Sabbath. We honor the Sabbath. Some people might say, what do you mean? You spend Lord's Day real quiet and you don't cut your grass and you don't do anything on the Lord's Day and you just stay home and pray and read the Bible. And no, that's not real honoring the Sabbath. That's not what we're talking about. That's the Old Testament. What is the real principle of the Sabbath is we honor this principle. We take God first. He's our enjoyment first. And then out of that supply that we labor together with Him. E, in doing God's divine work to build the church. Okay, we read that. We have this sign. Then He becomes our energy to labor. We are God's people and we should bear a sign that we need Him to be our enjoyment, strength, energy, and everything, so that we may be able to work for Him to honor and glorify Him. So the problem we talked about the last night, the iniquity, is when you are working basically without God. You're just trying to work here with no rest. And it's just smoke. And it's not acceptable. This is something not pleasing to God. And you know it, and God knows it. Right? Why are you dry? Because something is burning, it smells. Okay? It's not Christ. So, what do we need? We need to learn how to rest and enjoy Him. The Sabbath means before we work for God, we need to enjoy God and be filled with Him. Peter preached the gospel by the infilling God, the infilling Spirit. Therefore, Peter had a sign that he was God's co-worker. And his gospel preaching was an honor and glory to God. How about sisters, read 3. Okay, brothers, 4.
In our speaking to God's people, we must always seek to bear a sign that our Lord is our strength, our energy, and our everything for ministering the word.
Okay, keeping the Sabbath is an eternal agreement or covenant that assures God that we shall be one with Him by first enjoying Him, being filled with Him, and then by working for Him, with Him, and in oneness with Him. To me, this is so enjoyable. If we could learn this, wow, this would be really something. You know? Then our labor on the campuses, our labor in the churches will not be so heavy. Actually, the Bible says, the verse we read in Matthew, it should not be so heavy.
Right.
It should be light. When is it light? It's light when you have enjoyment. Okay? Number 1, it is a serious matter to work for the Lord by ourselves without taking Him in and enjoying Him by drinking and eating Him. As Peter was speaking on the day of Pentecost, he was inwardly partaking of Jesus, drinking and eating Him. Okay? All right, how about we skip down H? How about brothers, read H?
In the church life, we may do many things without first enjoying the Lord and without serving the Lord. Being one with the Lord. That kind of service results in spiritual death and a loss of fellowship in the body.
Okay. How about we read Roman numeral 2 together? Let's go on to Roman numeral 2. Let's read all together.
Come to me, all who toil and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light.
You know, there's two very good words in the Bible, two very simple words. One is come, and the second one is go. You know which one comes first? Come. First we come to the Lord, and then later the Lord charges you. Go! Okay? So the same way. Come is here. Come to me. Rest. Fellowship. Enjoy Him. Eat Him. Drink Him. Be supplied. Be filled. Come to Him. Then out of that, okay, what are you being filled for? Go. Go labor. Go preach the gospel. Go. The inflow is coming in. The inflow needs to go out. All right, so we come to the Lord. Then we take His yoke upon Him. Upon us and learn. So A says to toil here refers not only to the toil of striving to keep the commandments of the law and religious regulations, but also to the toil of struggling to be successful in any work. Whoever toils thus is always heavily burdened. So if you've never been heavily burdened, you must never have endeavored to build and work. Okay? Most Christians, if they desire to serve, they eventually get a little bit burdened. Okay, but sometimes in that process, we have to learn. Don't take it all on yourself. Don't try and do it. Take the Lord as our pattern. He was not working by Himself. Take Him as our strength. Him as our energy. Him as our supply.
Amen.
Okay? How about sisters read C?
Responsibility,
Okay, brothers, D.
To take the Lord's yoke is to take the will of the Father. It is not to be regulated or controlled by any obligation of the law or religion, or to be enslaved by any word, but to be constrained by the will of the Father.
Okay, I think you got it this morning. I think you got the main burden. What if someone asked you, what was the main burden Lord's Day morning? Could you summarize it in one word? What would you say?
Rest.
You got it. Now we just need to learn how to do it. Just need to learn how to rest and enjoy Him and be filled with Him. And then we can learn how to labor together with Him. Okay, so Andrew's... Oh, sorry.
Can we all stand up and read K at the very bottom together?
Okay. So all stand up. Stand up and read K. Go.
The yoke of God's economy is like this. Everything in God's economy is not a heavy burden, but an enjoyment.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, how about, let's pray quickly with your neighbor, and then Andrew's going to tell us a special way to prophesy this morning.